how it lights my path, how it guides my way.
John chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you've come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Amen. Lord, we commit Jan to you, Father. Thank you for the thoughts and ideas, Lord, that you've laid on his heart, Lord. And I pray that he will be a channel of your blessing now, Lord, as he shares with us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will have help us to have ears to hear, Lord, and eyes to see. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much. Oh. So as I set up my laptop, what I want you to do around your tables is ask yourself this question, or discuss this question with you, is why do you come to church? All right, wonderful. Everything's set up now, everything's safe. Just that question, why do you come to church? Keep that in your mind as I speak. For the people that are more visual people, I have created a slideshow for you to help focus, help think about the stuff that I'm talking about. So, I've been asked to talk about Nicodemus and Jesus' interaction. But because of time and the vibe of Free Teas, it's going to be a very simple message. And what I'm going to be talking about is just the word born again. Okay? Born again. And that what I'm going to do is basically take those two words as face value. Okay? Born and again. That's what I'm going to do. So, first thing is being born. The idea of birth, giving birth. The thing that only women can do. And then the word again. An idea of repetition, over and over and over again. But first, let's talk about birth. I believe there is something very significant about why Jesus uses that metaphor. I wonder why doesn't he use like grow like a tree again or reflect like a moon? I wonder is because I think there's something in birth that's significant. Of course, I personally haven't had a first-hand experience with it, but I was present at the birth of my son, as you can see him, my lovely son, Noah. And let me tell you that no one or nothing can get you ready for that experience. Mothers here in this room probably can testify to that moment. But that whole experience changes you in some other way, completely. For the woman, the process of having children literally changes your body and your brain. Your muscle move, your bones readjust, your hair falls out. All sorts of things happen. And I did a bit of research about this, but I don't know if you've heard the phrase mummy brain or brain fog. It's a real thing. It's not just the thing that's caused by tiredness or lack of energy. I found this paper on the internet where it talked about some medical paper where I completely didn't understand. But then I found the article about that paper, and it talked about that through pregnancy, the woman, the brain of a woman changes. There's something that changes in the woman. And this is what it said. Nearly 80% of the region of this person's brain, Dr. Kranstil's brain, the volume of gray matter, the tissue that controls movement, emotions, and memory, is decreased by 4%, with only a small amount rebound after pregnancy. Then there was an increase of white matter integrity, a measure of the health and quality of connection between brain regions in the first and second trimester, which then returns to normal levels after. The brain adopts, okay? As I went through my wife's pregnancy, I was experiencing, seeing my pregnancy, I was amazed at what the woman body can do and how much it can handle. And for the men, yes, but for different reasons. Not you, Samuel, but some men. For us men, we don't go through physical changes, but what we do is go through stuff happening in our heads. Again, I jumped to the internet and I found a bunch of stuff about how we men are testosterone drops quite drastically. And because of it, what happens is we become sensitive, more empathic, and more patient with various situations. And that helps us to form our relationship with the baby. It might not happen for everyone, but it happened to me. So when Noah came to this world, I suddenly was aware of my surroundings more, of all the threats, of all the things in the world that can harm him. I become a bit kinder, a bit more, had a bit more empathy for others. Now, for example, what I used to do is, when I used to watch a show or something, the storyline would not really emotionally affect me. But now, because of Noah, I can't watch some certain movies or shows or read some storylines. Especially when it comes to a storyline between a father and a son, and I never used to care about it. Now, it touches me. Sometimes it can make me cry. In a simple form, I became very soft. And the things that would happen before Noah would have never affected me, affects me now. And every time I see him, every time he runs up to me, I've got this overwhelming feeling. Some people call it love, but I call it baby magic. The reason why I say that is because, for example, if I have a bad day at work, I come home, I see him, or suddenly he comes up to me and runs up to me, my day just changes and it's better. Magic. But yeah, it's hard to explain how that happened. But yeah, my point of this is that me and Maria were transformed, changed by his birth. The birth changed us; it transformed me in some other way. Now I want to look at the spiritual birth that we believers go through. When we give our lives to Jesus, when the Spirit comes in our lives, something happens, something shifts, and we become different people. Suddenly, the different things that we liked, the way we talked, maybe the clothing we wear completely changes. What we do on the afternoon, on Sunday, come to church. We maybe go to a homeless shelter. We move to a different country. In that passage, Jesus talks about the wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from, where it's going, you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. I haven't been able to find a scientific proof of what happens in your brain, your body, or in your heart when the spirit comes and moves in it. Maybe in the future we might be able to measure that in some kind of form of way, but I don't have that at the moment. But when the spirit comes, there's a change that happens. We go through a transformation. Sometimes it's quicker, sometimes a bit slower, but then your life just changes. But then, as we know, life, comes with struggles, we're faced with lots of different struggles, and your life becomes like a salsa dance with Jesus. You take two steps forward, two steps back, one step to the left, one step to the right, or and suddenly you dance with someone else. You suddenly dance with Jesus again, and it's like salsa. Salsa is not a negative thing, but it represents the kind of sometimes the dance that we have with Jesus that you might be struggling to maintain a relationship with God. The way I view relationship with God is like a ballroom dancing. But if you've ever seen a ballroom dancing, a dance, it's like a flow of two people gliding along the floor. And it's amazing, beautiful. I was going to show you the clip, but just because of time, I can't. But when the flow of the Spirit comes, it's like a dance where He leads us, and it's beautiful and amazing. I mean, where that life can sometimes push us in a direction where it's more of like a salsa dance, or because of our choices or other people's choices, causes us to go into a salsa dance. But I believe that as believers, as Christians, we should be striving towards a life of ballroom dancing than salsa dancing. There was another video I was going to show you is basically of people where the ballroom dancing fails. Is they knock into each other, they stamp in each other's feet. It becomes not very elegant. And faith, like a dance, it takes two to tango. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives to be transformed. And the way to do it, I believe, is we come to the altar before Jesus and we say, Lord, what are our rough parts? What are the edges that you want to prune, you want to change? What life choices that I take or what characteristics in my life are not of you? What various baggages do I carry that I need to leave with you at the cross? And the Galatians passage that and I'm going to read it. I'll read just a chunk of it. About the fruits of the Spirit from verse 22 is that whole passage is exactly what I'm trying to talk about today and how we as Christians should live. And from just verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. I believe that should be our character as Christians. When we are transformed by the Spirit, on the other side should be a person that has those characteristics in our daily lives. That is basically my message for today, is that we need to be born again, transformed by the Spirit. Again, repetitively, action. Maybe every day. Maybe it's not like a one-time thing. It's every day being born again and again and again. I would have liked to look into the on that passage in the Galatians about the sinful nature, a tiny bit more, but obviously we're limited by time. But I believe that list is not as simple as the do's and don'ts. Do this and don't do that. I don't think it's as simple as that. humans are more complex creatures. That sometimes our sinful choices and all the nature comes out of the insecurities or the painful past that we have. Or it might be something else. And I believe that Jesus wants to come in and deal with the roots of those sinful roots. He wants to go, doesn't want to deal with the sin itself. He wants to deal with what causes that sin, the sinful nature. And then he wants to make you whole again, like him. And it benefits you, benefits people around you. And I've got a little true story, and I don't know if this is being recorded, but there was someone at my work place that he's a Christian as well. And in the morning when I come to work, we have a little conversation about just stuff. And we started to talk about how some things affect people. So for example, in my work, I'm a plumber. I work in central London in big properties, and we're there for like a year or two. What happens is that because of the client or some other issue, there's lots of changes, a lot of the drawings never match, lots of problems. And what we talked about is that a lot of people would get affected by that, would get really angry, frustrated, and the character and the whole being would completely change because of something like that. And we talked about is that actually, it was me and him, that those things don't affect us because whatever insecurities, whatever things that would get us angry or something, we left it at the cross. We're not bringing it to the workplace. And that actually, I'm a different person. I'm maybe happier, maybe more joyful, maybe all those one of those fruits of the Spirit. And because I've dealt with the insecurities or whatever, I can come to work and not push that onto someone else. Or be affected, if they say something to me, I'm affected, so then I bite back. I don't have that because the Holy Spirit done something in me that I left at the cross, and that others are not affected by my sin. So today, the way I wanted us to finish is, going to my original question, why do you come to church, is simple, to be transformed, to be born again. And what I want us to do, and maybe, Ian, if you can start playing some music, what I want us to do is to think about, just do a bit of reflection upon our lives, about our hearts, our minds, and is there anything in our lives that has caused us to maybe snap, or maybe cause us to have those one of the things on the list from Galatians, to have a sinful reaction to something. And if there is something, just in your mind, in your heart, just leave it at the cross. And if not today, if something really painful, do it tomorrow, do it on Tuesday, do it on Wednesday, and just be reborn again and again. I'm going to just pray to summarize. I had a picture of a cross just to help us to think about that, is that we can, whatever it is, whatever nasty black, whatever a horrible thing that you have in your heart, you can leave it at the cross and walk away, and that would stay there. You might have to do that multiple times, but that would stay there. So, Heavenly Father, just come with your Holy Spirit, and I just pray right now that you will come into people's hearts point to something that is not of you, Lord. To be transformed by your Spirit. That tomorrow we are going to, not tomorrow, by the end of this service, we're leaving this room changed. That we're going to be different people. We thank you, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.
Let your living word abide in me so richly as I abide in you. Let your living